Welcome to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. Here's your host, Hans Christian Vittinghus.
Hello, guys and girls, and welcome back to another episode of A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. It's been a while, and obviously a lot has happened since my latest episode. I've played in several league matches, I took part in all three disciplines at the Danish Nationals, and I've done lots of interesting coaching as well. But today's episode will be about none of all that. Instead, I've digged into some of the most interesting storylines for the upcoming All England, which starts tomorrow, Tuesday, and I will serve you all the most interesting questions we are all looking for answers for this week. One question for each discipline, so stay tuned and hear what I think is worth giving a little bit of extra attention this week. But before we start, I just want to give a quick shout out to my two newest patrons, Nigel and the BVR squad. Amazing to see new patrons still coming in every now and then, and so many who have chosen to stay on and support me for such a long time now. I'm so grateful, and this is really, really motivating. It makes me honestly real happy to know that you guys find value in what I offer with this podcast and offer to the Patreon community. And remember, guys, if you didn't sign up yet, there are lots of benefits to gain from becoming a patron of the podcast, like video calls, video messages, game analysis, and much more. So go check it out at patreon.com/vittinghus to see if it's something for you and what it's all about. And don't worry, you can always stop your support again at any time. There's no binding whatsoever in this community. Now, let's get to the five most interesting questions for the upcoming week at All England. Let's start off with a bang and start with the men's singles category. Obviously, my favorite category, the one that's closest to my heart. And for me, the most interesting question this week in All England is, will we get to see who is the true world number one at the moment? This may sound like a crazy question considering how well Victor has played over the past few years, but there is no doubt in my mind right now that Shi Yuqi is really making a charge at that number one position. Shi Yuqi has made 5 finals in the last 6 tournaments he's played. He's made the final in 4 tournaments in a row, winning the last 2, the India Open, the French Open, 750s, both of them. He's only 3,000 points behind Victor in the rankings when the new rankings is going to be updated tomorrow. And that would have sounded absolutely crazy if you said that like 6 months ago, or yeah, even 3 or 4 months ago, I would say. At that time, he was for sure still undisputed world number one, Victor, far and beyond anyone else. But now the gap is only going to be 3,000 points. There's no chance that Shi Yuqi will overtake Victor in the rankings next week, because she made the final last year in All England. So even if he wins, he will only gain like 1,800 points. So it won't be enough, because Victor won't lose a lot of points. He lost early last year to the Malaysian player Ng Se Young. But it's more like why I'm saying the true number world number one is that Victor, if you look at his 7 last tournaments, he's won 2 titles, the Japan Masters, the World Tour Finals, which is obviously, again, still world-class. But apart from that, he has 1 semifinal, which was Malaysia Open, where he lost to Shi Yuqi in the semifinal. And then he has 4 losses in the first and the second round. I know a couple of them also was due to injury and stuff, but in general, it leaves like a picture where it's actually pretty close between these two guys who's the best. And maybe at the moment it is Shi Yuqi with the form he's in and the stability in his game. Victor really didn't play well in French Open when he lost to Wang Suwei. So I'm very curious to see how he rebounds from that, Victor, and if he can stamp his authority once again and show that he is still the true world number one. If Shi Yuqi wins it, I think it's very hard to say that he's not the best player in the world at the moment. And then maybe who's going to be the favorite for the Paris Olympics is going to switch a little bit. I know there's still some months to go, but Shi Yuqi, he really is showing some impressive form, and it's very interesting to see this week who will show who's number one in the world at the moment in men's singles. Let's move on to the women's singles, where I think the most interesting question is, who will make a charge for the second Chinese women's singles spot in Paris. So right now, of course, Chen Yufei is a certain participant at the Paris Olympics. She's one of the three best players in the world, no question about it, three or four best players. She will go for sure. But then we have Hibing Zhao, who's ranked 6th in the Olympic rankings. We have Han Yu, who's ranked 8th, and we have Wang Xiyi, who's ranked 9 at the moment. There's only like 3,000 points between them. Right now, it's Hibing Zhao who's in the running seat with that 6th spot in the rankings. She has been very consistent in her performances. She's made a lot of semifinals and quarterfinals in her last many, many events. But she's missing that one top result in the many latest tournaments. She hasn't made a final since the Japan Open last year, which was even before the World Championship. So she hasn't made a final since last summer, basically. If you look at Han Yu, she's for sure a lot more inconsistent in her performances, but she did make a final at the China Masters. She also won the Arctic Open in the autumn last year. So she has those two top results that are maybe a little bit better than what we've seen from Hibing Zhao. But I think Han Yu is probably, of these three players, the one that is internally ranked lowest in terms of her chances of getting the nod for Paris. The dark horse, and maybe even right now she's close to being the favorite, is, in my eyes at least, is Wang Xiyi. She won the Indonesia Masters in January, where she actually beat Hibing Zhao in the semifinal and ended up winning the entire tournament. So again, she showed that with the best players, a lot of the best players there, she was actually able to perform and win a tournament, and that really matters when you get to the Olympics. She doesn't have the same experience as Hibing Zhao does, but I think with a good performance in All England, she might make a good case for her being picked as the second player for China. But it's going to be real interesting to follow these three players. None of them really performed at an amazing level in French Open. Hibing Zhao was more of the same, like she played at a consistent high level. She made a quarterfinal, lost to An Se-young without really being close. Wang Xiyi beat Go Jingwei from Malaysia and then lost to Tai Su Ying without really being close. And Han Yu lost a little bit disappointingly to Shang Yiman from China. So none of them really made a difference during French Open. So it's going to be real interesting to see in one of the last big ones they have left to see if anyone is able to make a mark for themselves. They all have pretty open and interesting draws actually at the All England. Han Yu is seeded 8 and will play Supanita Kattitong from Thailand. And she has a pretty decent second round as well, and a potential quarterfinal against An Se-young. A match that, if she can win that one, she will make a great statement for her own chances. Hibing Zhao will play Go Jingwei from Malaysia. Then she will have the winner of Michelle Lee and Mia Blickfeldt. And she then has a quarterfinal against Tai Su Ying, which again is another chance to show that she can beat some of the players that are most likely going to fight for the medals in Paris. Wang Xiyi will have the toughest opening round of these three Chinese women. She will play Aya Ohori from Japan, who's also in a qualifying battle with Nozomi Okuhara from Japan. So that one is going to be interesting, and she will then in the second round face most likely Kaolina Marin. So that's also a possible win that would be a statement win. So really interesting to follow those three, and I'm going to keep an extra eye on them in the women's singles draw this week. If we then move on to the mixed doubles, I think what's most interesting to see is if Rino Rivaldi and Peter Mentari from Indonesia, if their gamble of not playing All England will actually pay off for them. So this week they will play the Orléans Masters, who's a Super 100 event. If they make the final in that tournament, they're seeded 1. So if they make the final, they will gain only 300 points in the rankings. But if they win the tournament, they will gain as much as 1200 points for their qualifying ranking. And why is that then interesting to see? Well, it's because Rino and Pita, Rivaldi and Mentari, they are fighting with Selena Peak, Robin Tabeling, and He and Tan from Singapore. So two of those three pairs right now are in for Paris, and that's Peak and Tabeling, He and Tan. So only two of those pairs will be able to go. Right now, Peak and Tabling are 300 points ahead, which is basically nothing, and he and Tan are 900 points ahead. So if Rino and Pita, if they can win Orleans Masters, they will score, as I said, or gain 1200 points, which would potentially take them ahead of Peak and Tabling and he and Tan. But it is a tall task to win a tournament like that. Maybe they can, they are top seeds, but unfortunately for them, both Peak and Tabling and also he and Tan has actually gotten some pretty decent draws in All England. And because it is a Super 1000, there's a lot of points at stake. If Peak and Tabling win the first round match against Mathias Thuy and Amalie Maelund from Denmark, which is a very good draw, they will gain 1000 points just from winning that one match. If he and Tan can beat Yang and Hu from Chinese Taipei, which is also a very decent draw, they will gain 500 points. So if they do that, they only need to win that one match. Then even if Rino and Peter wins Orleans, they will still be behind those two pairs. So it will be very interesting to see if the gamble has paid off. That's the risk by not playing All England, that you could potentially just need to win one match there to really score points, where in Orleans you need to win a lot of matches to actually gain something from it. But I like it. I like the fact that they are going out to try and win a tournament, which can also boost the confidence before the final few tournaments. There's still a couple of Super 300 left. There's still the Asian and the European Championships left as well to score some points. But it's going to be really interesting to see. So guys and girls, you have to not only watch the All England this week, you also need to keep an eye for the Indonesian pair at the Orleans Masters, which also starts tomorrow, Tuesday. And just to add a little bit of extra spice to that mixed doubles battle, we also have the Indonesian pair of Rehan Kusrayanto and Lisa Kusumawati, who are only 1600 points behind their compatriots Rivaldi and Mentardi. And if they just win one round in All England, they will score 1200, so they will almost erase that gap completely. So you can add that pair into the mix if they can perform this week in Birmingham. So also keep an extra eye for those two. They have a tough draw against Zhang Enxie from Hong Kong, who just won a German Open last week, or yeah, 1 week ago. Two disciplines left and two questions left as well. Let's take the women's doubles first. And for me, the most interesting question we need to get an answer for is, can Chen Qingchen and Jia Yifan finally win the All England crown again? They've only won it once before, and it's now been 4 years in a row with no Chinese winner in the women's doubles. If you look at Chen and Jia Yifan, they just won French Open yesterday by beating the Japanese pairing of Shida and Matsuyama. But it was not without problems. They were cruising towards winning, leading 21-12, 10-4, and then all of a sudden got into all kinds of trouble, lost the second game 21-19, and had to survive, I think it was 5 match points in that third and final game before actually coming back to win it. But if you look at Chen and Jia this year, or in the last 6-8 months, they've been almost unbeatable for anyone but the Chinese compatriots. They lost 4 matches since August. One was a walkover where they were actually leading and then pulling out. Then they lost 2 against other Chinese pairs, and then only 1 match against Hirota and Fukushima from Japan. They won the World Tour Finals, they won the Asian Games, the China Open, the World Championship. So they won a lot of the big events, and again, only failing against their own compatriots. They will be heavy favorites going into All England. But for sure, there will also be a lot of pressure on them because, as I said, 4 years in a row with no Chinese winner in women's doubles. It is a discipline that they have some very heavy traditions in. They're very used to winning, and they won a lot of titles in All England in women's doubles. They only won it once themselves. So for me, it's going to be really interesting to see if they can carry on the form they've shown in the big events over the past 8 months into this tournament. They will get to work hard. They have a tricky second round against Pearly Tan and Tina from Malaysia, and then Nakahara and Matsumoto in the quarterfinal, and the compatriots from China, Liu and Tan, could be a potential pair they will play in the semifinal. If not, it's going to be Matsuyama and Shida who, as I said, they played in the, in that French Open final. So for sure, they won't have it easy. They might also get to play compatriots again in the final, as Zhang and Sheng are in the opposite half of the draw. So it's going to be really interesting to follow and see if they can handle the pressure. For me, I think they will do it. I think they are far beyond the best pair in the world at the moment. But you never know. At All England, strange things can happen. And yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. And I'm for sure going to keep an eye on those two. Also, because they're always fun to watch play. I got that impression again yesterday when I was watching their women's doubles final in French Open. They're really just entertaining. They're not playing that old style of women's doubles that got some criticism of boring long rallies. They are actually aggressive. They are trying to score points. They play with lots of variation, and they also just have a really, really good energy on court. So I really enjoy watching them, and I can only recommend you guys to do the same this coming week. So we are at the final question that I've chosen to take into this episode for the men's doubles. And what I think is going to be really interesting to get an answer for is, can Li and Yang keep the momentum and bring the battle for Paris into life? And Li and Yang are, of course, Li Jiehui and Yang Pohuzhuan, who lost the French Open final yesterday against Ranky Reddy and Shetty, but they won German Open the week before, so they are really the pair in form at the moment. I know they're still 10,000 points behind Wang and Li, who are obviously the reigning Olympic champions and favorites to go to the Olympics in Paris. And 10,000 points is a lot. But Li and Yang, just with a semi-final in All England, they will cut that lead to around 6,000 points. And again, they are the pair in form. They still have also the Asian Championships left, with which will count as a Super 1000. There's still a couple of Super 300. So they still have some chances to cut that lead even more. And then what do you do as a national coach from Chinese Taipei if they end up being only a few thousand points behind Wang and Li? And they are for sure not a pair in form. Like, they haven't passed the quarterfinal since Korea Masters last year. They played 5 tournaments now where they only have 1 quarterfinal to show from it, and 2 second round losses, 2 first round losses. So even if they are a couple of thousand points ahead, wouldn't you be picking the pair to go that are in the best form and has made, like, won a Super 300, made a final of French Open, and again, if they play well here in All England, has all the momentum going into the Olympics? So I think that's going to be very interesting to follow how those two pairs fare in All England this week. And I think there is a lot of stake, even though the difference in points right now is as much as 10,000. I don't think that will be the hurdle in the end if Li and Yang can keep the level they played at these past couple of weeks, which has been absolutely insane. If you look at their opportunities this week in terms of the draw, Li and Yang has been quite lucky with the draw. They will play Winston Chiu and Joshua Yuan from USA. And not that they are bad players or anything, but at this level, they are they're definitely a level below. So that's a good way to get into the tournament. And I'm sure that Li and Yang will also be mentally a little bit, and also physically a little bit, tired after 2 long weeks in Germany and France. So for them, it's good to get maybe a little bit easier start. After that, they will have Ong and Teo from Malaysia or Liu and Oh from China. So definitely a good draw for them, and as an unseeded pair, you cannot really be placed any better in the draw. So they have the opportunities of making a good deep run once again in this tournament to add the pressure for Wang and Li. Wang and Li, on the other hand, will play Leo Rolly Kanando and Daniel Martin from Indonesia, which is a very open matchup. I would say basically 50-50. And even if they does get past that one, they will have Liang and Wang from China in the second round. So definitely not a good draw for those guys. And this week can really prove to put them under some pressure that, again, was unimaginable if you just go, I would say, 1 month back. I don't think anyone expected Li and Yang to suddenly win German Open and make a French Open final, but they did. And now they played themselves into a position where they can actually realistically have a shot at going for the Paris Olympics if they do well against this week during the All England. So, guys and girls, that was it for me. That was the most, for me, the five most interesting questions that we need answers for during this week's All England. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I would love to hear your comments and your feedback, and if there's something obvious that I missed, something that's even more interesting to look at during the All England, so please send me a message or comment on my social media posts. I'm very open to discussing these matters with you guys. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Thanks again to all my patrons for the support. I really, really do appreciate it so much. And I will be back with another episode very soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, share, and leave a comment in iTunes or your preferred podcast app.